Hello and welcome to Leading Words, words that God Himself separated and placed in the Holy Scriptures to ensure that you may receive everlasting life. Words that Jesus Himself parsed and spoke and said they will give life eternal or life everlasting. And the reason for that, He said, because these words that I speak unto you, they are not just empty sounds. No, they are not. He said, they are life and they are spirit. They carry life. They are living words. Words to lead you to everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Well, again today, we are in the midst of the summertime. It's very hot out there. But in the midst of this heat, sweltering heat, we are enjoying the presence of God, His promises, and His blessings for all of us. So I bless you today. May His blessings enter into your home. We have a little special word for you coming from God's word. In the book of Zechariah, the second chapter, I want you to open your Bibles with me in the book of Zechariah. And I want you to listen to the words that God said in chapter 2 and verse 4. He said to the prophet Zechariah, He said unto him, run, Zechariah, run, He said, run and speak to this young man. And said to that young man over there, He said, run and tell the young man that Jerusalem shall be inhabited as a town without walls for the multitude of men, and cattle will appear therein. He said, you see that young man over there, Zechariah? God spoke to Zechariah the prophet, and He said, run and tell that young man over there that Jerusalem shall be inhabited, and it will be inhabited so greatly, it will be loaded with men and with cattle. And God said, and I'm going to make it again a great city. And then He said in verse 5, for I, says the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. He said, I'm going to build up Jerusalem as a humongous city. He said, Jerusalem is going to be built up as a city, but a city without walls. It's going to have so much people, so many men are going to be multiplied, and cattle, men and cattle, multiply Jerusalem. I'm going to build this city up again myself. And He said, go and tell that young man over there, go and tell the next generation, go and tell the kids, go and tell the posterity, go and tell them, thus said the Lord, I'm going to rebuild Jerusalem as a city without walls, and I'm going to multiply the men in that city, and I'm going to multiply their belonging, their cattle, so much cattle. Yet the city will be a city without walls. Without walls. What's really going on here? Well, Jerusalem has been a city in turmoil for the ages, for the centuries. But God promised that in spite of all the difficulties that Jerusalem as a city will go through in this existence, God promised that a day is going to come that even though people are going to run over Jerusalem and tread down Jerusalem and beat up and burn down Jerusalem and do some of everything with Jerusalem, God made a promise. God said, in spite of the conditions of Jerusalem, I am saying to you, and said to the promise, to the prophet Zechariah, He said, Zechariah, I want you to prophesy this over Jerusalem. I want them to know that in spite of their condition does not determine their future. I, God, am their future. And God said, tell Jerusalem, go and tell the young man, because there was a young man passing. He said, you see that young man over there? Go tell that young man that I, the Lord God, said, I'm going to multiply the men in Jerusalem, and I'm going to multiply their cattle. What is he saying? He's saying that in spite of the hardship of Jerusalem, a day is coming for redemption. A day is coming for renewal. A day is coming, God is saying, when I'm going to turn the circumstances around. I'm going to turn the situation to the favor of Jerusalem. Why am I talking about Jerusalem? What does that have to do with you and I? We are not Jews. I ain't no Jew. I'm a black man. And perhaps some of you that are listening to me, perhaps you are not a Jew. You might be a Hispanic man, a Hispanic woman. You might be a Caucasian, a white person, a black person, a brown person, a Hindu, a Muslim. You might be an Oriental from China. You may be from Thailand. You may be something else other than a Jew from Jerusalem. This promise here that God is making seems to be directed to Jerusalem, to the Jews. So how does that help us that are not Jews? We that are not Jews, how does this help us? Well, this is a promise that God is making to Jerusalem. And he's saying, I'm going to rebuild Jerusalem. I'm going to build up that city like a city without walls. I'm going to build and multiply the men. I'm going to build and multiply the cattle. They're going to have everything that is needed for them to be a great city. And then look what he said. And I myself, I, God, I am going to be a fence around them. Because it's very hard to build up a big city like Jerusalem without the fear that just how they run down Jerusalem once, and just how the enemy come and tackled Jerusalem many times, just how other countries came and overpowered the Jews in Jerusalem. Now that God gonna build it up, what's gonna stop them from coming back again and run down the place? Well, God is saying, because I, God, I'm going to be a fence around Jerusalem. I'm going to be a fence, but a fence that is made out of fire. He said, I'm going to be a fence of fire around Jerusalem. I'm going to protect it. Why from a fire? Because Jerusalem represents God's people. Yes, it is Jews, but it still represents the people of God. And God people are in constant attack. There is a force out there. There is a demonic entity out there called the devil or Satan, and his name Satan really means the serpent that surrounds life in order to devour it. The serpent that devours life by surrounding it, or life surrounded by a serpent with the attempt to devour and destroy it. And just how Satan surrounds God's people to devour, to destroy the people of God, God said, I am going to be a fence around you that belongs to me. But what kind of fence? He said, I'm going to be a fence of fire. Why a fire? Because if Satan is a serpent that surrounds God's people to devour them, God said, well, I am fire that surrounds my people so the serpent cannot devour them. And I like how God put it. God said, I am going to be a fence of fire. And that serpent that is lurking around and trying to devour you will not be able to devour you. Why? Because serpents, snakes don't like fire. And God said to Zechariah, tell them that I, the Lord, will be a fence made out of fire. So the serpent that is trying to surround you got to pass through me first before he can get to you. And I, God said, and I will be to you a fence made out of fire. And as you know, serpents don't like fire. But again, let's go back. What does that have to do with you and I? We are not Jews. These promises are made unto the Jews. Well, I must draw your attention. Again, turn to all these scriptures in a minute, but I can tell you where you can find them. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 25, 26, and 27, three of the most fabulous verses you can find in the New Testament. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 25, God said to us that any person that has been baptized in Jesus Christ automatically becomes an heir, connection, direct heir to Abraham. Now, who is Abraham? The father of the Jews, the father of Jerusalem, Abraham. But look what Galatians is saying. The book of Galatians in the New Testament says, anyone that has been dipped inside of Christ, anyone that has been baptized inside of Christ, any person that has been placed inside of Christ, immediately they become heirs of the promises that God made to Abraham. So if you belong to Jesus Christ, if you has been placed or dipped inside of Jesus Christ, then that make you immediately an inheritor of the promises and blessings that God gave to Abraham. And why? Because Jesus Christ is direct lineage of Abraham. And if we are baptized, or meaning dip or submerge into Christ, if we are in Christ, you see that? Since Christ is direct lineage of Abraham and we are in Christ, then we also will be in Abraham. And every promise that God gave to Abraham for him and his descendant, all those promises that God gave to the Jews, oh, he's going to bless and multiply and prosper and keep them and make out of them a great nation. All the promises that God made to Abraham, because we are in Christ and Christ is direct lineage into Abraham, all those promises belong to us also. So when God said to the Jews, I'm going to build a fence around you and I'm going to multiply you, I'm going to establish you, I'm going to make you great again, you are going to be powerful, I'm going to multiply your cattle, and look at this great promise, you say, and I'm going to multiply your men. Oh my God, he's saying, I'm going to bless you with 42. And even though Jerusalem has been beaten and broken down so many times, God is saying, I don't care. I'm going to build you up again. I'm going to pull you up again. But this time, he said, when I pull you up and establish you and multiply and bless you, he said, I am going to protect you now in a different manner. How? I'm going to build a fence around you. But the fence that I'm going to build around you, this time is going to be a fence of fire. A fence of fire. Because your problem is not just people trying to attack you. Your problem is that there is a serpent out there. There is a serpent out there trying to pull down your life and to pull you apart and rip you to pieces and to devour you. So since there is an invisible serpent out there that you can't see, God is saying, I'm going to put an invisible fence around you, but my fence is going to be made out of fire. And I told you already, I say it again, serpents don't like fire. Snakes don't like fire. And God is saying, I'm going to make a fence of fire. Fire to destroy and push back the forces of the enemy. There is a last thing now that God made in this promise. He said it to Zechariah. He said, tell the young man, I'm going to do this for him. But while he's building this fence of fire now, while he's building the fence of fire, the same book of Zechariah, in the same verse 4 and 5, He said, while I build a fence of fire around you, inside of you, he said, I'm going to put glory. So look what he's saying. I'm going to do a combination. I'm going to build a fence of fire around you, but I'm going to put glory within you. I'm going to put glory within you. Look at the words, glory. I'm going to put glory inside of you while fencing you with fire. So fire on the outside, glory on the inside. Why do we need glory on the inside? Because while he's protecting us on the outside, the glory of God, the refulgency of God, the light, the shining, the brightness of God is going to be working on the inside. You know, back in the day, the old timers used to sing a fancy song. You know, they make these songs. Caribbean folks, they love to sing songs. And they make this song, it says, something on the inside, working even on the outside. In other words, while God is working on the outside, something is working on the inside. And the more this thing work on the inside, the more the working on the outside. Something on the inside, working on the outside. You see that? Oh, what a joy in my life. God will be working on the inside. Doing what? He said, I will put glory on the inside of you. And what will that glory do? What is glory? Glory, the word for glory is kabod. You heard ikabod, you know, in the Old Testament. Glory departed. Well, kabod is the word for glory. And that word kabod really means to open the inside door. To open kabod, the kaf and the b inside, the beth. Kabod, the door, you see, to open the inside door. And what it really means is that the Holy Spirit, according to 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 8, it says, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is with glory. What is he saying? That the Holy Spirit, he does work with the light, with the glory of God. And what he does, he comes and he opens up all those inside compartments. And he shine the light of God inside of us and burn out the things that are not right in our lives. We have a lot of things store up inside of us. We have a lot of inside doors. Not just one inside door. Oh, no. We have many doors, many hidden doors inside of us. The heart, Jeremiah, the old prophets of the Old Testament, all over, it said the heart, the most wicked and despicable thing you could find. It represents the inside. Matthew chapter 15, Jesus Christ said, out of the heart proceed all the evils of this world. Adultery, fornication, idolatry, homosexuality, gambling, stealing, killing, murders. Oh my God, every sin that you could imagine in this world, it starts inside the heart. And how you get these things out? We need the Holy Spirit to bring the light of God's glory and shine it inside of us. Inside. And when he shines, he opens those doors inside and clean those doors, because the light is the only thing that can repel darkness. So when the light comes, all the mess that produced the darkness, it's shining us and it push out evil darkness. The Holy Spirit will work with the light of God. You have some things in your life that you yourself can't get rid of. You have things in your life that you yourself been fighting and asking God, sometimes even praying and begging God to help you. Things that you wrestle with daily, habits, inclination, tendencies. Appetites that you will like to overcome. There are many things inside of you. Bad ways, bad personality, bad attitude. Many things inside. Weaknesses, habits, failures, slips and slides, and so many things coming from the heart. God is saying, I want to bless you. I want to rebuild you. And when I do it, I'm going to protect you so you don't lose again. But while I'm helping you on the outside, I need to put the glory on the inside. And who is going to work that glory, that light, to change and transform you is the Holy Spirit. And how we know is the Holy Spirit is going to do this? Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8, it says, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is with glory. And then in verse 18, the same chapter, chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, he says, and then the Holy Spirit will go changing us from glory to glory to glory until we become the very image of Christ himself. You see, he shines that light in us, repels the darkness, push that darkness, open those inside doors and bring spiritual transformation, and then change us from glory to glory. And the more the light of Christ shine in us, the more we start looking like Jesus Christ. And the blessings that God in store and rest upon us, we'll be able to take advantage of it. God want to bless us, but he don't want the enemy to come and snatch the blessings from you. He want to bless you, want to multiply you, he want to build you up like Jerusalem. But there is a devil out there trying to get you, and God is saying, I will be a fence of fire for you. But while I'm fencing you from the enemy, allow the Holy Spirit to shine the glory, change you and make you better, transform your life and make out of you a great man, a great woman of God, a great disciple of Jesus Christ. So open your heart, receive Christ, make Christ to come in, but also receive the glory from the Holy Spirit. Let the glory, the light of Christ and the light of God shine in you. Open those inside doors. Let the Holy Spirit change and transform the areas of your life that will make you a better man and a better woman of God. Until here, God bless you. Until we meet again, God bless you. Let the glory shine in and let the fire of God protect you on the outside from the works of the enemy. God bless you. Jesus love you. Keep the glory shining. Amen and amen and amen.